L'une de mes toutes premières interviews, bien avant la création de Volant, date de 2011. J'étais à San Francisco et j'avais eu la chance de croiser la route d'un des fondateurs de Airbnb. Si vous cherchez sur un moteur de recherche, vous verrez que je n'étais pas très doué à l'époque d'ailleurs. Mais j'étais impressionné et ravi car j'ai toujours trouvé la capacité de Airbnb à créer une communauté de partage vraiment incroyable. Et donc depuis, l'appartement dont je suis propriétaire a toujours été sur Airbnb pour les moments où je suis en vacances ou simplement absent, car cela me permet d'arrondir les fins de mois. Avec ce supplément de revenus, je peux partir en voyage au Japon en 2016 par exemple, sans doute l'un de mes plus beaux voyages. Donc si vous avez une chambre de libre ou si vous partez en week-end, vous avez sans doute vous aussi un Airbnb. Pour découvrir combien pourrait vous rapporter votre logement, rendez-vous sur airbnb.fr/hôte. C'est airbnb.fr/hôte. H-O-T-E. Allez, place à l'épisode maintenant. I very rarely do episode in English because, well, Vlan is a French podcast, as you know. However, there are questions that I'm wondering all the time, like why are so many people experiencing mental health issues? What is happening with politics on the local but also on the international scene? How did we arrive in a situation where the world seems so binary when we all know it's super complex and nuanced? Is our society collapsing? How can we find meaning in life? How can we reduce our anxiety? And what should we do? In this episode, we are discussing all those very deep and important questions and many more with my guest, Jamie Will. Jamie is the founder of the Flow Genome Project and the author of Recapture the Rapture, which I simply loved. That's why I decided to do this episode in English because, well, I rarely read books that describe so well the situation we are in right now and explain the solutions that are accessible for all of us. To me, it's really a must read if you can read English. But from now on, and to convince you, I invite you to listen to our conversation with Jamie. Allez, Vlan, c'est parti. Hi, everyone. Hi, Jamie. How are you doing?
Great.
Great. How did you wake up this morning? Were you in a desire to save or to enjoy the world?
Goodness gracious. I think I just woke up this morning and I was just heading downstairs to a nicely fresh brewed pot of coffee and then I would see what would happen. So I might go out and savor the world on a paddleboard.
That's a good plan. I'm saying that because that's one of the sentences of your book, basically, that we have this desire sometimes to save the world and then also the desire to enjoy what the world is bringing us in the Occidental world. I would not argue that it's the same for everyone, obviously. That's why I was asking. I would love to understand what is your vision of the society today? And it's very interesting because in France, the situation is that the extremism is rising, both left and right.
Yeah.
And we feel like it's very specific to France, but it's not. It's actually the same pretty much everywhere. So I would like to understand, what is your vision of the society today?
Yeah, I mean, and I think it's what you just said is critical for anyone trying to sort of really have their fingers on the pulse of what's happening, because I'm blown away by how frequently people simply fixate on the sins of the opposition. So if you are a progressive, you become absolutely obsessed with what's happening in the alt-right. If you're a conservative, you become absolutely obsessed with what's happening with woke social justice. And really, they are both just symptoms of a bigger, more pervasive thing, which is arguably our meaning crisis. And the only reason that we have had this intensive polarization is that the consensus worldview, which used to include and contain both liberal and conservative positions, you know, it's the history of European thought, it is the post-World War II general kind of American peace, you know, and broad consensus. It was the move towards global transnational cooperation and participation. It was the support of fundamentally pro-social civil rights and humanist values, meaning that even if we don't quite always do this, a brown life halfway around the world is actually supposed to mean as much as a white life closer to home. And that even if we're not there yet, we're trying to get to a place of broad human equality. That entire sort of neoliberal, secular, humanist narrative has just collapsed. And it's collapsed not just because, it's sort of collapsed on both legs, right? There's sort of two pillars that held up our modern worldview. And the first one was organized religion, mm-hmm. you know, which, you know, if you think about it, for all of human civilization and predating civilization, right? It was our shamans and then our priests and bishops and rabbis and imams that told us what was a good life, what was our place in it, and how ought we act. And in the, you know, late 20th century to early 21st century, you had the sort of new atheists like Christopher Hitchens and Sam Harris, you know, and folks like that, Richard Dawkins, right? Like sort of actually gleefully marking the demise of organized religion, you know, and they were thinking that, you know, religion was the opiate of the masses. Religion was infantilizing. It was filled with impossible superstitions and just so stories and sort of good riddance to bad rubbish. And now we're all going to march into modernity together and we will be fundamentally effective altruists, you know, as secular rationalists. Mm-hmm. And that will be us growing up. But they really did skip what Nietzsche cautioned about, where he said, you know, because everybody remembers his bumper sticker, God is dead, mm-hmm. right? The idea of the collapse of the demystification of religion that came with the French Enlightenment, that came with rationalism, empiricism, the scientific method. Mm-hmm. But he said, hey, because this is in Thus Spake Zarathustra, right? This is, and the rest of his paragraph is the everything of that quote. He says, God is dead. And hey, friends and neighbors, be really, really careful when you murder your gods. Because when you kill your gods, you rip out of the social fabric all of your morality and all of your ethics. Don't for a second think that humans are actually as kind as we are when we're at our best and on our knees praying to a higher power. Mm-hmm. And so pillar one has been the collapse in organized religion. And in the last couple of decades, everybody's been tracking this, but the Pew Research Foundation in North America has